been a few weeks since the NFL season started, and now that single event sport betting is legal in Canada and more Canadians are placing bets on these games, our show contributor John Jang takes a look at a couple of games in case you're thinking about making a bet this weekend.
All right, another weekend just around the corner, which means week three of the NFL season if you're a big sports fan like myself and our guests joining us as we take a look into some of the games that you can make bets on through PlayNow.com. He is the spokesperson with BCLC, Matt Lee. Matt, thank you for giving us a few minutes here today.
Thanks, John, and happy Friday to both the NFL fans and CKNW listeners.
All right, let's get right into it. Of course, when we're talking NFL games in this market, lots of people here still support the Seattle Seahawks. They are at home this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons. And Matt, you know me, I'm a shameless Seahawks fan, but I have to decide with my brain and not my heart on this one. I actually really like the Falcons at plus 1.5 against the spread. They've kept it close. The Falcons in both of their losses so far, it was a 1-point loss against the Saints in week one, and even against the Rams in week two, the Falcons were fighting late into the fourth. What I like about Atlanta, they have a really good running game. They've shown it in both weeks, and the Seahawks run defense, not great at all. Even though they beat Russell Wilson and the Broncos in week one, like Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, they were getting big gains that game all day long until the Broncos just abandoned the run game. I think the Falcons are better than what the odds makers are saying. I'm liking the Falcons this week at plus 1.5 against the spread, the underdogs, if you will, and shamefully, really, going against my Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, and I think to your point, even though the Seattle Seahawks are at home, we all saw that Geno Smith and the Seahawks kind of came back down to earth after that huge week one win over Russell Wilson, like you mentioned. I think people are still waiting for a big splash play from DK Metcalf, the star wideout for the Seattle Seahawks. They haven't seen that so far this season. Same for Tyler Lockett, who has kind of been there but hasn't really gotten himself open for a big chunk play like we've seen over the years. And similarly to your point about the Atlanta Falcons, I don't think we've even seen the best out of them yet. You know, we haven't really seen tight end Kyle Pitts get super involved in any game so far. Marcus Mariota can also move the ball with his legs as well. I think that it's fair to say that the Atlanta Falcons might be a little undervalued on the money line at 1.95, but the Seattle Seahawks at 1.86, it's basically a pick-up between these two teams.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to what you said, Pete Carroll, after the loss against San Francisco, was kind of talking up Geno, kind of talking up DK, saying that the Seahawks need to unleash Geno a little bit more, let him use that arm, try to find DK Metcalf downfield. But the thing about Pete Carroll is that he is really good at not telling the truth. I'm not going to say that he's an outright liar as the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, but he's been a coach for a long time. He knows what to say to protect his players and confuse the media, confuse the opponents heading into their next game. I don't necessarily buy most of what Pete Carroll tells the media. I think he essentially deals with post-game interviews like it's a second game that he needs to win every single week. So don't buy stock that DK Metcalf is all of a sudden going to explode.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to your point, Pete Carroll, there might not be a more eternally optimistic coach in the NFL than Pete Carroll. You know, he will say things like he wants to let Geno cook, and yet they will continue to hammer the ball on the ground, whether it's with Rashad Penny or Kenneth Walker. So there's a lot of old school coaches out there, and Pete Carroll might be among them, most old school.
Yeah, indeed. So if you're looking at player props, if that's what you're into, I would say, again, don't buy too heavily into the wide receiver receiving yard stock, but do look at Rashad Penny. Do look at Kenneth Walker and see if there's numbers there that make sense to you. Again, we both like the Falcons as underdogs in this week, but that doesn't mean the Seahawks players, some individuals, can have some promising performances. Moving to Sunday night here, Matt, I mean, heck, speaking of Russell Wilson, Broncos playing the 49ers on Sunday night. The Broncos are supposed to be a good team this year, but it feels like it's taking them a lot more time to really gel together with a new quarterback, a brand new head coach. But here's a stat that makes sense to me, Matt. Russell Wilson's career lifetime record against the 49ers, 20 games, 16 wins. For whatever reason, Russell Wilson loves performing well against the 49ers. So I, again, really like the Broncos at plus 1.5 here against the spread. I think the Broncos have had a few struggles where they just haven't had their best performance. Week three, I think they finally get it together. The 49ers, a lot of injuries. They're going back to Jimmy Garoppolo. who knows how the morale is in that locker room right now. Give me the Broncos at +1.5.
Yeah, I think to your point, the Broncos being at home here, this is Jimmy Garoppolo's first start since last season as well. It's tough to say, you know, I've got Russell Wilson on one of my fantasy teams, and I'm considering benching him this week just because of what he has done over the last two games. 16 points for the Broncos. It's not going to cut it against most teams. You know, this is a 49ers offense that at least has some very serious weapons on their team. And for Russell Wilson, he may not have one of his top weapons in Jerry Jeudy available. So I do think in the eyes of bettors and fans, this one is one that they're watching very closely in terms of some intrigue here, because both of these teams, it's a 1.5-point swing on the spread right now. So it's basically a pick 'em between these two teams right now. Denver is slight underdogs, too. They're paying out at even money right now. So if you are looking for the Denver Broncos, maybe there's a little bit of value right there on the money line.
Yeah, we're in conversation here with Matt Lee, spokesperson from DCLC, just picking some of the games we like heading into week 3 of the NFL season. Before we wrap things up here, Matt, I know you just wanted to take a quick minute to give a shout out to a longtime CKNW legend who this morning called it a career.
Yeah, I wanted to wish CKNW's anchor, Gord McDonald, a happy retirement. You know, I had the pleasure of working with Gord for 4 years in my previous life at CKNW. And let me tell you, this is a man who would stroll in the waking hours of the morning with a smile on his face every time. Gord, you were an absolute pleasure to work with as both a colleague and a friend, and you were a true professional, and I'm happy to see you're finally going to be getting some semblance of sleep again.
Well said. You know, we've been talking about underdogs. I've picked two of them in this one, but I think all of us can agree Gord McDonald is a top dog, calling it his own way and walking out on his own terms. What a true legend and a class act through and through. Gord, here's to you. Matt, thank you so much. We'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks, John.
Thanks to Matt Lee and thanks to our John Jang. John, I'm wondering here, do you think single game betting is going to continue to grow here? I think the numbers are close to like 170 million. I think in the past year we've bet here in BC alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going up and up and up, Jazz, because it's just an accessible way for people to really get more involved with watching sports. And of, you know, what we've heard about cable television and the ratings are going down year after year because more streaming platforms are coming up. You know what's one thing that's propping up cable television's success still? It's live sports, mm-hmm. because this is an entity that so many millions of people care about. And we're not talking just NFL football. Of course, hockey's part of that. Hockey Night in Canada is still very much ingrained in people's minds here north of the border. So we tend to still flock to the TV if we want to watch some of these games. And because of the rise of legalized single event sports betting, Jazz, I think it's just a more, I don't know, interesting way, I suppose, of watching teams, because now you might have reasons to watch teams that aren't your favorites. If it's not your hometown team, like, for example, if the Vancouver Canucks aren't playing on a given night, you still might watch the Detroit Red Wings or the New York Rangers, because now there's something in it for you as well.
Yeah, I was reading with BC Lottery Corporation, the number one sport, and it surprised me. I was thinking probably NFL, and it is only the first year, but NBA was number one. I guess the scores there, games can be very tight, and and even if your team's behind in the third quarter, in one quarter, you can come back even if you're behind by 20 points in some cases. I guess that may be why people like betting the NBA more than the NHL at this moment anyway.
Yeah, and I think the success of the Toronto Raptors going back a few years ago when they won the NBA championship, like, I think that has a big impact too, because now you've essentially grown your audience here in Canada to have a winner like that. And to your point, Jazz, like, those fourth quarter swings, the final 5-6 minutes of a basketball game can be the most compelling, because you know the star players are coming off the bench, they've been resting for a little bit. Now you've got best on best action, and that's usually where the most dramatic storylines come from. And yeah, another reason why you want to watch some of these games, because you might have some skin in it.
How often are you betting?
Oh, I don't know if I want to be totally honest, but you know, the two bets I was here discussing with Matt, Jazz, yeah. I've got both of them down on my sheets at playnow.com. So I'm fully involved in it. We'll see if I can get any victories, but that's, again, I think we have to really emphasize, play within your limits, you know, just know it, play within it, as they say, and do it responsibly. But if you can have fun, have fun.
I'll know how well you've done depending on your mood on Monday, so I'll keep, yes. Keep an eye on that. Although I will be watching the 49ers game. Those are my 49ers, and Denver, that should be a good game. John, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
You got it. Yeah, thanks, Jazz.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.